Hello, I'm Mike Horace with your WCMU Morning News Roundup for Friday, October 16th. An eighth man faces criminal charges in connection with the alleged plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer and put her on trial over her COVID-19 orders. We have more from Rick Pluta.
51-year-old Brian Higgins is being held in Wisconsin awaiting extradition to Antrim County in northwest Michigan. Attorney General Dana Nessel is charging him with material support of a plan by alleged terrorists in a group that called itself the Wolverine Watchmen to grab Whitmer from her vacation home, ostensibly to put her on trial for what they called treason. An affidavit says Higgins participated in surveillance of the governor's family vacation home using night goggles and recording on a digital dashboard camera. The Michigan State Police and the FBI described the Wolverine Watchmen as an anti-government, anti-law enforcement militia group. One other suspect is still awaiting extradition from South Carolina. I'm Rick Pluta.
Two bills introduced this week in Lansing would increase the legal penalties for large boat operators who don't pass cautiously through the Straits of Mackinac. Democratic State Representative Yusuf Rabi is a co-sponsor on both bills. He calls them, quote, absolutely critical.
We cannot allow for our water, our way of life, to be threatened by negligence on the part of the shipping industry.
If passed, large boat operators who knowingly drop anchor or drag a chain in the Straits of Mackinac would be held criminally liable. They could face felony charges, serve up to 4 years in prison, pay fines of up to $10,000, and have to cover environmental cleanup costs. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration issued its 2020 Winter Outlook yesterday. Dan Wanshura reports on what it means for Michigan.
A lot of snow could be headed for the Great Lakes region this winter, and that could mean more erosion and flooding for shoreline communities. Mike Halpert is the deputy director of NOAA's Climate Prediction Center.
The outlook does favor above average precipitation over all of the lakes. But if there's enough precipitation falls, with the lakes already at high levels, that certainly could exacerbate things.
Now, whether or not it's an especially cold winter remains to be seen. Halpert says it'll be colder than average from western Minnesota to the Pacific Northwest, but it's a toss-up if that'll happen in Michigan. I'm Dan Wanshura.
A new smartphone app has been launched to help reduce the spread of coronavirus at Michigan State University. The free app is called MI COVID Alert. It's a joint project of the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, the Ingham County Health Department, and MSU. People who test positive for COVID-19 can anonymously share the results with the app. Bluetooth technology detects nearby phones that also have the app, and users can receive a notification that they may have been within 6 feet of that person for at least 15 minutes. Health and Human Services spokesperson Bob Wheaton says the app should not be considered a substitute for traditional contact tracing.
That's still important for people who do test positive to cooperate with contact testers and give them as much information as they can so they can reach out to people. So we're looking at this as kind of supplementing that.
The MI COVID Alert app can be found in the Apple and Google app stores. A corruption investigation focusing on the Detroit Police Department's narcotics unit has implicated 12 members of the force. Criminal charges against the individuals are forthcoming. The police officers are accused of fraud, embezzlement, and lying about confidential sources. Most have departed the department as they stand to face criminal charges. Police Chief James Craig says the department has new policies to prevent future corruption in the unit.
Anyone longer than 5 years in major violators has been transferred out. The rule now is that anyone that's assigned to the narcotics unit can only stay up to 3 years and can request a 1-year extension.
Craig says the department will also conduct random body camera audits and require complaints to be logged in a digital system. He says the probe is expected to implicate more officers as it turns over more evidence. 5 months after a devastating flood destroyed much of the village of Sanford, some residents say they're bouncing back, while others say they are just doing their best to prepare for winter. WCMU's Ben Thorpe has more.
In May, CJ's Hairstyling in downtown Sanford was destroyed. The insides were covered in the same layer of mud that blanketed much of the town after the dam just up the street collapsed.
Hi. Hey, how you doing?
Now, owner Connie Mettner is giving a haircut.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm so busy that I can barely get out of bed in the morning. I'm so crippled, but I'm not complaining one bit. It's better than being home all the time. So yeah, and this is the best place I could ever dream of having.
Metna reopened her doors last week and says she's been booked up with hair appointments ever since. That's good, because Metna says she's paid for a new place with a mixture of grant money from the Midland Area Community Foundation, personal savings, and donations.
We used up our savings. We used every penny we've ever had, and now we live every moment paycheck to paycheck.
Down the street from Connie, on the west end of the village, construction workers are in the process of repaving the road into town. Ray Bowers's R&R Auto Sales sits near this construction. It was one of the stores hardest hit by the flood. He says his own house near the now-drained Wixom Lake was also flooded.
So I'm trying to get a home to live in now. This has been, had to wait. And it's just a hard time trying to get anybody to help.
Bowers says he's been living out of a trailer while he repairs his home. FEMA has helped cover the cost of a new furnace, but wouldn't cover the cost of his hot water heater. His frustrations mounted when he realized the Small Business Administration would only offer loans to help restart his business.
At 66 years old, I didn't plan on starting over. And I says, I don't want a loan. I says, I can't afford to pay it back. I have no job. I have no income. So how do you expect me to pay it back?
The Four Lakes Task Force has proposed a $338 million plan to rebuild and renovate the dams impacted by the flooding and to restore the drained Wixom and Sanford Lakes. The plan would require local homeowners in the region to help pay for the project, sometimes to the tune of thousands of dollars every year. The plan does not require homeowners' approval. Bowers says he doubts he could afford it.
Really? Why should we have to pay for something somebody else caused? That don't make sense. Taxpayers have always done that. Bailed everybody out, but not this time.
County officials say they are still in the process of determining how many area residents are living in tents or trailers heading into the winter. As of October 15th, $27 million in FEMA assistance have gone to assist residents impacted by the flooding.
Buddy.
You ever seen some blinds like this? Look at this.
Yeah.
Penny Tyler is a Sanford resident who had a house donated to her by Great Lakes Homes.
And the floods took everything from me, but I got gifted.
Tyler's home is a one-story that she occupies with her little dog, Bugs. She says, at least on her street, residents are doing well.
So I'm not sure how many people are still in tents and motorhomes or RVs, you know. I don't see it myself, but I know that there are still people needing a lot of help. We got winter coming up, and it's going to be cold. It's already cold.
Tyler says she isn't so sure she wants the Sanford Dam to be rebuilt at all.
If they ever put that back together, I'm not too keen. I don't know if I really want them to. We never even looked at it like a risk before. Nobody thought this was going to happen. I mean, we all just walked away thinking, all right, we'll be right back, you know. Oh, no, we got right back and there was nothing.
It's a sentiment echoed by Connie Metner of CJ's Hairstyling. Her business is downtown, but her house is just west of where the Sanford Lake used to be. She says the idea that residents won't get to vote on whether to make huge payments to help rebuild the dams just doesn't make sense.
I mean, my mom's going to get it. And she's 91. She doesn't make any more money. How fair is that? How many people, and the attitude is, well, if you can't afford, move? Mom's 91. She shouldn't have to move.
A spokesperson with the Four Lakes Task Force says before they assess properties to determine how much each resident will have to pay, a third-party group will survey homeowners about their interest in restoring the lakes. The task force says, quote, restoring the lakes has to be affordable for the community, and this will be a major factor in the decision on how we proceed. The survey is expected to be conducted early next year. I'm Ben Thorpe, WCMU News.
And that is your WCMU Morning News Roundup for Friday, the 16th day of October, 2020. I'm Mike Horace. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday.